In the Bible, there is a very strong teaching or truth about what it means to be weaned or to be off milk and onto solid food. And we're going to talk about what that means today and how that relates to being a Christian. So I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 5, and then I'm going to actually give you a list of all the scriptures I have so that you can have them to take home with you. But Hebrews chapter 5 is a very, very important scripture that has to do with learning how to get off of the bottle. Okay? And we, of course, nowadays we got baby bottles. So it's time to give up the bottle, okay? I should call that the title of this message. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become hard of hearing. For though this time you need ought to be teachers, everybody say teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. Oracles has to do with the word of God that's given, that's powerful. It's the word. It's not just words. It's the oracles. It's the God words. You need milk, not solid food, and he's not complimenting him. We got to give you the bottle again because you're acting like a... Yes, that's what he's telling him. I have to give you a bottle because you're acting like babies. For everyone who lives on a bottle, who drinks milk, is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he or she is a child. But solid food is, or meat, I love that word, meat, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So can we pray right now? Father God, we thank you for the power of the Word of God to change us to be more like Jesus. And Lord, we honor your word today that your word would transform us from glory to glory. In the name of Jesus, we prayed. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, amen. Or oh me. One or the other. Praise God. Okay. All right, I want you to turn now to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I want to start with verse 21, and then we're going to, after we do this, I want us to just get together in a few groups for just about 5 minutes and process a little bit of what this is all about, because I want you to think about what it means to get off the bottle, and then I'm going to talk about it. All right, so this is how we're going to do it. We're going to read this scripture. And then I want you to, I'm going to have you get together in groups, and you're going to talk about what it means to get off the bottle and get some meat in you. So here we are. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21, it says, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for as she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I'll bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said, do what you seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. Can we say that? Only may the Lord establish his word. Let's say that again. Only may the Lord establish his word. So, the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull. They brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. Because you remember, Samuel's a miracle baby. Miracle baby. He would not have been born if it wasn't for God doing a miracle, because she was barren. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. I believe that's verse 28 right there. Okay, so why would it be important for Hannah to make sure the child is off the bottle when she brought him to the temple? Well, it's obvious, right? She was not going to be there. But I believe there's a greater understanding based on Hebrews chapter 5 of what it means to be off the bottle. In every congregation of church, you're going to have, hopefully, people who don't know Jesus at all, okay, but are curious. And then you're going to have spiritual babies that are on milk. They're just getting started in the Christian life, and they need kind of a very single-focused diet. Peter called it the pure milk of the Word. So it's just very basic stuff. God loves you. He died for you. He wants to change your life. And you know, there's that sense that he needs to do something for you. But then you need to grow up to the point where Hebrews said to be a teacher. That means you're not a student. You're also a teacher, where you know something well enough. As a matter of fact, one of my professors at college said, you never really know something until you teach it. Anybody ever hear that from their professor? It's first thing I learned. You never really know something until you teach it. So as a pastor, I facilitate you to teach. Why? Because I really want you to know it. And you're going to bring something to it that I'm not going to bring. I want to share this psalm, which is Psalm 131. And I would like us to read it out loud together. I would like us to read it out loud together. It's not that long. We're going to read it in the easily spoken version of the Bible, ESV, English Standard. But that's what I call it. It's something you can easily pronounce. Okay, Psalm 131. So everybody got their paper with them so we can all say it together. Ready? Here we go. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So here you have the concept of a prayer. This is a prayer. O Lord, I am not going to let my mind get crazy about everything. I'm not going to be like worrying about stuff. I'm not going to try to understand stuff that I was never meant to understand. It's not worth the time to try to understand some things. It's just not worth it.
That's true. Yeah.
Sometimes you hear about a shockingly horrible thing that somebody does. That's the way of the news. The more shocking, the more they want it out there. And the first question you ask yourself, I know if you're like me, and maybe nobody's like me, put your hand up if you hear yourself saying this. I can't understand how somebody would do something like that. Right? How in the world would someone even think of doing what they just did? You see? Now that's in a negative way. Another way to look at it is something that's just so amazingly positive that don't try to figure it out. Enjoy it for its beauty. Something is just meant to be beautiful. Because when we try to figure it out, we actually destroy its beauty. It's like taking a beautiful flower and pulling off all the petals to see how many they are. Why can't you just look at the flower and love it because it's beautiful? Come on. That's a quiet soul. That's a, what does it say? A calm soul. A quiet spirit. God wants us to learn how to live our lives with a quiet soul. With like a weaned child with its what? Mother. That means that baby ain't bothering mom anymore. Because they didn't have baby bottles back then. They didn't have formula back then. And it took a few more years to wean the babies. You know what I'm saying? Back in the old days. And so the child stopped bothering mama. It could hang out with mom without pestering her. See that? I can enjoy you, mom, now. Instead of treating you like a vending machine. But don't we treat God sometimes that way? The only time we pray, oh Lord, help! The only time we pray. The only time people mention the name of Jesus is when they're ready to get into a car wreck or when something bad happens. Then all of a sudden that name flies. But it's not what God wants. He wants the name of Jesus to come like a weaned child. Oh, Lord, I love you. I want to be with you. Why do you have to pray only when you're in trouble? Pray when you're in trouble. And pray when you're not in trouble. God likes being with you. He wants us to have a quiet soul. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 4. I believe that having a weaned child or giving up the bottle, come on now, it's time to give up the bottle, saints, is learning how to live our life through the Word of God. To learn to live your life by the preceding word of God. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and he fasted for 40 days. 40 days of nothing. Maybe water, because I don't know how you can go that long for 40 days without water. But Jesus was a miracle. Okay, so right after the 40 days, the tempter comes to him. Now, the Holy Spirit chooses the word tempter, not the word devil, not the word Satan. He chose the name. You know, the devil has many names. And no, it's not the name of the person sitting next to you. Okay? You devil, you. Okay? He has many names. Satan, right? Devil, accuser, tempter. Tempter is one of his names, which means he is the person. Come on, how many of you love the teachers that always want to test you? Come on now. No, no. Testing time is not like, yay, right, Bryson? When everybody says, it's time for a test, the whole class goes, yes. No one ever does that, right? Right? Right, Eva? No, whoever rejoices when the test comes. Come on. The tempter or the tester is the someone that wants to find out what you're wrong in. They're not trying to find out what you're good at. Now that's a good teacher. A good teacher wants to know what you're good at, too. But the devil, all he cares about is trying to make you mess up so he can accuse you then. The accusations come after the testing because now I can accuse you based on how well you did on the test. And then he won't just accuse you to you. He'll slander you to everybody else. Look how they failed. Look how that church messed up. Look how that pastor messed up. Look how that person messed up. And then to tell everybody just how badly you messed up. So that is the devil's plan. So the tempter comes to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves. So we need to know when the devil is causing us to turn stones into loaves. We don't want to do stones to loaves. And we don't want to do the devil's work. Why? Because our Father knows what we need before we even ask. And if he wants to send bread from heaven, I say, bring it on, God. Why should I worry about turning stones to loaves when my Father can feed me? He feeds the birds. He feeds the birds. He can feed. He knows how to feed animals. So if he knows how to feed animals, they don't work. They don't worry. They don't fuss over food, right? What's that called? Bottle. Get off the bottle. They don't fuss. They're at peace. It says he gives them their food in due season. God knows how to feed you at the right time. Just when you need to eat. And we are so blessed with food in this country. I know that I could easily eat nonstop all day. I could do it. I could be like a cow, just graze all day long. Just make little trips around the kitchen. Grab something, keep going. Grab something, right? But part of maturity is learning to eat at the proper time. It's when. The timing is very important. To live a life off the bottle means you honor the Lord's timing in your life. Don't try to do something too fast. Wait on the Lord for him to serve you at the right time. You know, he's a serving God. If God gives you food in due season, it says meat in the King James, that means you want to wait until it's ready. Now, in Deuteronomy 8, that is the scripture that Jesus quotes to stop temptation. Every temptation, Jesus uses the Word of God to stop it. So learning to get off the bottle means you know how to use the Word of God to shut up the devil. Because it says when he quoted the scripture, the devil stopped. He tried something else. So here's the thing. If the devil keeps saying the same thing to you over and over again, guess what you have not done? Come on, think. You haven't used the Word. If he keeps telling you the same thing over and over again, the devil tempts you the same way, that means you haven't used the Word. Because when you use the Word, he tries something different. Hear me, you ought to be getting up, running around this room. That's powerful. You stop the devil from tempting you that way. And he'll try a different way. But then what do? He tried a different way, and Jesus used the Word. Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Same, by the way, same passage in Deuteronomy. He used this, just the temptations out of the very same part of the Old Testament. And then he tried it again, a different way. Just fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shall you serve. Then it says the devil left him for a season. for a season. Do you see how you can stop temptation by the word of God, by saying it? And by saying the word of God, he'll change his temptation. And then there'll come a season when he will leave you alone for a season. And I know, as a mature Christian, I know that I can live a life where the devil isn't constantly pestering me. There are times when I feel like he's off my back for a season because he got beat up pretty bad and he doesn't want to get beat up more. The devil's going to need some time to recover because you put some hurting on him with the word. Come on, y'all are so quiet right now. You ought to be going, yes, thank you, Jesus. Come on, this is not my word like a fire. Well, the devil runs away with his pants on fire. Come on, liar, liar, right? My word is like a hammer that shatters the rock. The devil is going to go away because you bruised him pretty bad and he wants to stop hurting. Come on. We need to use the word of God against the temptation, and he will go away for a season, but then he will come back, and that's okay. What do you do then? Use the word. Speak the word. The Lord thy God says. The word says. Come on. Yay, God. All right. So in Deuteronomy, it says that it says, as a man disciplines his son. So now we have another insight of what it means to get off the bottle. We get off the bottle because we learn discipline, and it shifts gender, if you will, where it becomes more of what a man does to their child. Now, I don't want to have Josh feel too bad, but right now, if Brucey had a choice between mommy and daddy, guess who he chooses just about every time, right? Right? I mean, I'm just seeing it over and over again, like, what? And then Josh looks at him, he's like, no, I want mommy, and that's it. Why? Mom's the milk machine. You can't, right, Kenny? You just don't rate right now. That's right, because of the Baba. That's exactly right. But there will come a time when that discipline and that joy of working together with dad will equalize. It will equalize. That's why fathers are so necessary for success. That's why we have so many bottle-sucking adults in America. I hate to say it like that, but it's the truth. Man, don't quote me. That sounds funny, though. Okay. Now, look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. Here are two funny scriptures that I hope you will understand now what they mean. Why did Jesus speak about his mom like that? Why? It's like he didn't have an attitude towards her. But here's what happened. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother came. They said they want to speak to him. Now, Jesus was preaching at the time. That'd be like me preaching and mom standing outside saying, Johnny, I need to talk to you. She calls me Johnny, right? So what did he say to the messenger? He said, who's my mom? I'm off the bottle. Sorry, I'm off the bottle. Who are my brothers? Whoever does the will of God, they're my brothers. See, he shifted from being a baby to being one who wants to be around those who do the will of God. I'm not going to hang around people that don't want to do the will of God. Why would I want to do that? My job is to do the will of God. That is our purpose, our plan. God called us to do his will. And we pray that every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Whose will is it? God's will. bottle-sucking Christians. Bottle-sucking babies. They do. Only what kind of will? Their will. And darn if you don't give me my bottle when I fuss, or I will make you so miserable. Right? Oh, Lord. I'm a visual person. I'm seeing things I don't want to see right now. Woo, baby. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And then Luke 11:27, this wonderful woman says to him, interrupts his message. He's preaching. She yells this out. Blessed. She raised her voice out of the crowd. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast in which you sucked. And he said, blessed rather. That means on the contrary. That means no. No. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and do the word of God. So it's not like he's putting his mama down. He's saying it's time for daddy time. It's daddy time now. I'm going to sit with my mom and not pester her or press the buttons to get the dispenser to go. From now on, I'm going to be hanging out with dad and doing the will of God and learning and growing up and using the word like God wants me to use the word. Amen. Come on. Praise God. I know you ran around this room. I just didn't see you. I know you're praising him. Come on. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is maturity. This is spiritual maturity, is doing what the word says without someone having to stick a bottle in your mouth to shut you up. Okay, now. Okay, here we go. We're going to finish with these two things. The Abba Father cry, the Abba Father prayer. Now, as a baby, you cry out for who? Mommy, 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 mommy. Babies cry out for mommies. Mature people cry out for dad. Boom. Boom. Who are you screaming for, folks? Who are you screaming for? Come on. And it's interesting because this term is only used three times in the New Testament. Three times, Abba. One in Romans 8, one in Galatians 4. And then Jesus only prayed this prayer one time in the Gospels. He only used that term, Abba, which is it's the local dialect. He used his local slang for dad. It's like daddy. Then he used the Greek pater, which is the official term for father. So, and to use daddy as a term as a Jew was not common. It was not something that people did in the Old Testament. Jesus started something new by calling God Papa. We didn't see that. It was the formal term. So let's go to read the scriptures. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, by whom we cry, everybody, Abba Father. So that cry, now that spirit of adoption is not necessarily meaning you're not born into the family. Actually, that term adoption refers to taking the child born into the family and setting them into the official maturity. It was a maturity service. It's today we see that in confirmation in Christian terms, and we also see it in bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah in the Jewish traditions. That's when you said, son, daughter, it is time, you're grown up now. I am no longer treating you like a baby or a young person. It's time for you to grow up. And that's what that adoption was, the spirit of adoption. Now, we are adopted in the sense that we have been born again. But realize our born again experience means we are literally born into the family of God. We're his We're His God children. I mean, spiritually, we are His children. It's not like we're just like nicer people. You hear me? There's something that has fundamentally changed about who we are. We are fundamentally different. I know that when I was born from above, I had a new birth. And we preach, we believe that you just don't start spitting out, if you just go down this checklist and say the right things, that somehow you're different. That's not the way it works, folks. Because I went to church a whole lot before I was born again. And just going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. You can go as much as you want. I guess I am hungry. I'm ready to eat. I have a feeling we need to go to a buffet. I want to buffet my body. Yeah, exactly. It takes a whole lot of transformation. And you're just reborn. You become a new person, a new creation. You're got born again. I mean, Nicodemus could not explain it with his head. He tried to figure it out. It was too high for him to think about. And so he was saying, well, how do I like get back in the womb and all this kind of stuff? He was trying to work it out. All right, now look at Galatians chapter 4. Paul says it again. He says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, a baby, is no different from a slave, though he is the Lord or owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. Wow. The birth date. The new birth date. The mature birth date. Do you know that Abraham had a celebration when Ishmael was weaned? Isaac was weaned. Excuse me. I'm getting these names mixed up. When Isaac was weaned, Abraham had a big party, invited the whole community in. I believe the Lord has a party. Yeah, yeah. When Isaac was weaned, they had a party. Because there was a transfer, if you will, from the mother to the father. It's time now for you to cry, Abba, Father, and not Mommy, Mommy. It's time to grow up, saints. God has sent a spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So Jesus used an Abba, Father prayer, which we're going to pray. I want you to see something about this Abba, Father prayer that I think is really cool. Jesus is in Gethsemane praying. It says they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. So his disciples were his intercessory team. Okay? So he left them in one room as his intercessory team. He goes to another spot in the garden, and while he's praying, they're sleeping. His intercessory team's letting them down. They're not praying for him. Every leader needs an intercessory team. They do. You need people praying for you. We were praying for Sylvia Evans today. Why? Sylvia's in Africa. She's almost 80. I think she's 80 years old. She is flying to Africa to minister. She's rolling, man. Now you think that's not easy. That's hard. It's hard for me. And I'm in like 62. It's hard for me to get on a plane and fly to Africa. Think about what it's hard for someone at 80 years old to fly to Africa. And, you know, so she's not comfy for her. A lot of people her age are sitting by the side of the pool, you know what I mean, drinking margaritas, you know what I mean, and listening to music. I mean, she's doing stuff for Jesus. So I'm going to pray for that woman, because I want to do stuff like that when I'm that age, you know, and maybe older, I don't know. But I want you to see this prayer. It says, my soul is sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed. Now, I want you to see this. I underlined the words. That. if it were possible, the hour might pass. Everybody say, if. Might. Are those words of certainty? No. Are they words of faith? Not yet. They're words of possibility. Now, I want to encourage you. Abba Father prayer starts with possibilities and ends with faith. Abba Father prayers start with possibilities. Some people need hope therapy where they don't think it's possible, period. I don't think I can make it. I've messed up too far. I'm hopeless. Right? I just can't do it. That's where you need possibilities. Right? But you've got to go from the possibility to the promises, where you're no longer just hoping something, but you're believing it has happened already. And I want you to see the progression of his prayer. He says, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, look at the change now. All things, if possible, might be possible, are possible. All things are possible for you. That's the word of faith. All things are possible for you, Father. Notice that his faith is not in himself. It's in his Father. You don't have to believe in yourself to be saved. You have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Let Jesus believe in you. Let me say that again. You don't have to believe in yourself to be saved. You have to believe in Jesus. Let Jesus believe in you. Don't try to believe in yourself. You can believe in yourself and be very deceived. And I don't want to go off on that because it'd be very funny to think about. There's some people that think very highly of themselves. They believe a whole lot about themselves, but they ain't right. So I'm not going to give you the cartoon tropes that you hear on cartoons all the time. Just believe in yourself and you can do anything. That ain't the word of God. It's not the truth. I can believe I can fly. So I'm going to get on top of this 20-story building and jump off because I know I can believe I can fly. No, don't do it. There's something called gravity. Believe in Jesus. Amen. Let him believe in you. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things. But he didn't leave it that way, did he? Because I believe in me. Oh, yeah, I really believe in me. Me, 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 me. I believe in me. No, he said, I believe in Christ. I believe that I can do all things. What? Through Christ, who strengthens me. Huh? Yes, I think it's Philippians. Yes, I can believe in Christ. See? So believe in Jesus. Let him believe in you. He really does believe in you. You know why? He died for you, and then he took his home in you when you accepted him. You realize that Jesus believed in you so much that he died for you? He died for you? He died for you? Why? Because he really believes in you. You think he didn't see all that stupid stuff you've done up till now? Yes, he did. And all the stuff that you just might do afterwards. He saw all that. But he still died for you, didn't he? Why? He loves you that much. He believes in you that much. And he knows he is the strongest, most powerful, most awesome, most loving, most fantastic, most incredible God. and nothing is impossible with him. Nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Faith. He went from possibility to proclamation to declaration. Father, all things are possible with you. Yeah, he got out of the if part. He got out of the might part. He got into the power and the proclamation. God, all things are possible for you. It is not my will. It is your will. But he let God know what he wanted, which is, I don't want to suffer like this. Right? He was being honest. If Jesus didn't say that, he would not have been man and God. He couldn't have been man. Why? Because people feel pain. Jesus took on our humanity. And this prayer expresses his humanity. Lord, I'm hurting. I don't want to hurt. I am suffering. I am dying. I don't like this. I don't want it. But because all things are possible with you, I can do this. Because it's your will that matters. I can trust your will. I don't have to turn stones into bread. I can wait for my food to come. I can wait until the Lord provides for me what he wants for me. I'm not going to go try to do it in my own strength. I'm not going to do it in my own power. I'm not going to do it in my own cleverness. I'm not going to try to weasel it, wheedle it, steal it, finesse it, whatever it may take. I am going to do God's will, and nothing is going to stop me because I am off the bottle and I'm eating solid food right now. I want some good stuff. And I put off those childish ways. I put away the bottle. I'm going to go eat some steak right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Enough of that formula stuff. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I love my mom, but she is no longer the vending machine she was for me. Praise God. I'm going to hang out with Pop a little bit, and he's going to kick my tail sometimes, but I'm going to do the will of God. But we're going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? Come on, let's praise God and thank God. And let's thank you that God has given you the same prayer that Jesus prayed. Come on. He's given you the same way to pray to God that he prayed to God, being the Son of God. He was the Messiah, and he cried, Abba, Father. And so we cry, Abba, Father. So you know what I want us to do? I want us to just scream it out at the top of our lungs, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And you just do it until you feel like stopping. And don't do it just once. And don't go, Abba, Father. I want you to be bold right now. Come on. Ready? Here we go. Ready?
Abba, Father!
God. Amen. Some of you might have received some miracles right now. I check your body right now. You might have gotten healed. You might have gotten something done. Whoa! You might have gotten the power of the Holy Spirit releasing you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not my will. It's not my will. Come on, let's say it. It's not my will. It's your will. And I'm going to move from the if it might be to all things are possible. If it might be, I'm putting behind. I'm putting that if it might be bottle down, and I'm going to take up all things are possible. Meat. All things are possible. Put that bottle down that says, oh, if I might, me might do this, you might do that. No. All things are possible for those who believe.
Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. Lame now walk, blind now see. This is the year of Jubilee.